We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All righty, AMA. We typically do it Wednesdays at noon, but tomorrow we got a short show because the Phillies have an afternoon game tomorrow. And as a result, AMA moved to today, Tuesday at 1 o'clock. By the way, shout out to Jay Dotz. That's right, Jay Dotz, and all the other wonderful people in the Eagles staff that gave us some really nice food. So we asked. I don't think it had anything to do with us getting the food. I think they just saw us. We said it on the radio. I don't think they could have heard us. But as soon as we went to a commercial break, someone came right to the trailer and saw John and said, "Hey, do you guys want some food?" And we said, thank you.
Thank you so much for my cheeseburger.
Jay Dotz, Seltzer, Jay Dotz said, just give me a shout out on the radio. I said, what's your name? He said, Jay Dotz. I said, all right, Jay Dotz, I'll say your name, Jay Dotz.
Well, shout out to Jay Dotz. I will say, much like with my 3.5-year-old daughter, I worry about validating you whining on the air about food and this working for you and what this could mean in the future. But yeah. I'm happy
you gotta
to get
remember,
your food.
James, you got to remember, it worked for Harry Callis and Richie Asper in all those years.
When they good. That's where we're
on
going.
On the air looking for good. Pizza in the middle of a Phillies game. So if we can follow in that great tradition, we shall at least try. All right, AMA, people send in the questions on Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Seltzer rounds them up, asks the best of the best. James, what do we got today?
Let's start out on Twitter. High Life wants to know, if you could go back in time and take credit for one invention or idea in human history, what would you take credit for?
Holy mackerel, an invention. It wouldn't be the wheel. What is an invention I would take credit for? Gosh, John, do you have a thought on this one?
I think something current, so then I could reap the benefits, like monetarily.
Smart.
Right now in a selfish way. So, I don't know, like the microchip or something along lines?
Yeah, so mine would give you no money, but I would take credit, if I could, for the concept. It's not a technological thing, the concept of equality. No, I mean, why not? I mean, if you'd be a hero. Because you think about it, guys, the cavemen, they didn't know about equality. There was no such concept. But if you could be the first person to say, let's view ourselves as equal, right standpoint, equality. I take that. I mean, you got to admit, James, you got to admit, it's big, it's bigger than a wheel.
Yeah, it's a huge,
right?
Yes.
Bigger than the wheel. Okay.
It's not really an invention.
It's not an invention.
He said or idea. No, he did say invention or idea.
Yeah.
So
I will claim
it's aggressive.
Equality as the hammer.
Yeah, it's aggressive, but we'll let you get away with it. All right. Patrick Whelan wants to know, would you rather be the star of a really bad movie or have a small role in a really great movie?
Depends how much money I made.
Small role in a really great movie.
No, listen,
no question.
Dude, if I'm the star of a flop and I got paid a lot of money.
All right, take the money out of it. Would you rather be the star of your own movie, but it's not good, or would you rather be a part of something great?
See, this is tricky.
Part of something great is the obvious choice.
No,
Joe.
but here's where you're looking at it a little wrong, I think. I get where you're coming from, but if you're the star of a flop, chances are you'll be able to attract another movie and make more money because
Why wouldn't you be able to do that in the great
you
film
might.
That you now have? You've been a part of, okay, of greatness.
You get to tell everyone forever, you know? Hey, that's me in The Godfather. I'm in The
I
Godfather.
Understand, but,
right.
but, okay, but take Apollo's trainer, Tony, Duke, in Rocky. Now, did that guy parlay that into major stardom? I don't think so. He can walk around society and say, you know, yo, I was Apollo's trainer, but I don't see that guy getting top billing. I think I'd rather be a flop because it'll set me up to make more money elsewhere.
It's not surprising. You want your own thing. You want to be the star.
I guess, yeah,
this jives. This Richie, the team player, in a nice little window into your psyches right there.
It's so true, by the way.
I know. All right. Good question from Mid-Major Matt. He says, Joe, what's the one sports opinion that Richie has that annoys you the most?
Everything about injuries. He looks at players that get injured. He thinks they're going to come back sooner than they are. He thinks that a lot of times sometimes guys stay out too long. There's no doubt. But he just poo-poos the concept of, like, real injuries. And John says drives me nuts, but that drives me nuts.
Jason Kelce, the way he deals with injuries is the way that I believe everyone should be dealing with them. And
hasn't
I
come back yet, though.
His approach.
We don't know that he's going to play week
one. He's going to play week one. I guarantee he's going to play week one. And we can take solace in that fact. Like, hey, we'll be at full strength on the O-line when we play the Lions.
Okay, but
that's
if
good.
He does not play week one,
that's not even an option. Because in his mind, it's not an option. And once upon a time, that's the way it was for the majority of the players. I appreciate that. It is a different way of thinking.
Seltzer, save this audio in case Jason Kelce does not play week one, which I'm sure there's probably a 25% chance he won't play week one. You know what I mean?
0% chance.
Okay, we'll find out.
Play.
James, give me a couple more questions. What do you got?
Okay. This is all right. So I'm going to ask this is a really weird question. I'm going to ask it because I'm intrigued to see how you take it. And there are a lot of things that could be wrong with this question. I don't even know how to approach it. So I'm just going to ask it. Mark Pagliante wants to know, if someone were to become a Philly sports fan, what is the one piece of advice you would give them?
Steel yourself. Make sure you get like the Tin Man. Make sure you cover yourself in armor to prepare yourself for the coming days of dread. Is that a fair answer?
Sure. You didn't have any problem with the just becoming a Philly sports fan part of this? Sentence alone is so strange.
Well, a baby can become a Philly sports fan. It doesn't mean you were a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
All right,
fan, you know?
That's a decent
I have
way
an
to
open door policy, by the way. I think
you'll just take anybody? Like if someone's
permitted.
A Mets fan like Joe, you just let them right
if
in?
If they so choose to go down the proper path, then I'm not going to stop them. I welcome that.
Oh, man. All right, James, one more. Talk to me.
All right. One more. Let's go with Big Mike. If you had a chance to have one day with someone that influenced you, living or dead, who would it be and why?
Well, for me, it'd be my father. I mean, my father passed away when I was 5. So obviously he influenced me dramatically for the first 5 years of my life. I have very little memory of it. I have some memory, but it's very faint. And, you know, obviously for me, it'd be my dad.
Geez, one person who influenced me. I understand where you're going with that.
Yeah,
Joe.
I mean, that's the, you know, obviously the reasonable answer from my
After
mind.
What we just dealt with, you know, with being with my father where he was no longer my father,
yeah.
I would love to make sure he knew how I felt about him and the way he molded me and you know, the man that I grew up to be was because of him. And I don't know if I ever conveyed that properly when he still could, you know, understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd do that.
Yeah, that version of your father who you had for most of your life.
Yeah.
It's a great answer. And that is AMA. With that, we shut it down. Yeah, already. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to our buddy Sparty in Downingtown. How you been, Sparty?
Fellas, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Super. We're happy to hear from you, Sparty. It's not every day we get to
talk
to
you. I'm a mover and a shaker out here. Listen every day. Sure, I listen every day, trust me. But I don't know. I was calling there for a while, and my sales were down, so my boss was on me. So I couldn't stay on hold anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, hey, begging for food has worked for Glenn Mack now for years, so I'd keep it up, fellas.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Listen.
It was a good burger,
it
by
was
the
great.
Way.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. More so than I think I've enjoyed a burger in a long time.
Yeah, it's that bonus burger when, like, you don't know if you're going to be able to get it, and then they give it to you, and you just – I don't know about the begging idea there, Sparty. I mean, we threw it out on the air. I don't know if I'd call that begging. I think we were more commentating. And it just so happened that it worked out for us.
Well, you know, and John, I wanted to obviously send my condolences. I'm sure that all that you've accomplished on and off the field, I'm sure you made your dad proud and your mom proud. So he was a pretty proud dad. So I'm actually just looking forward to my son when he plays with the Phillies. Hopefully I'll feel the same way. But I'm sure you made him proud. But and in fact, you know, I here in Camp Jurgens, I actually got on the Beef Jerky website, and they're sold out, man. So if you can,
good.
You gotta tell that boy to replenish his stock, because they're sold out.
I tell you what, he is an impressive player. We got to see that against the Jets, but getting to meet him, you know, just a solid guy, like the real deal kind of guy. And the fact that he is, you know, hand in hand with a future Pro Bowl, future Hall of Fame center. With the skill set that he has to work with, like from the get-go, he's getting such a great start the right way. And man, he's so talented. This guy's going to be great.
I think it's going to be really good, too. And Sparty,
it's not even a question whether he's going to be good. He's going to be great.
Well, that's good. And Sparty, I'll say this, man. Obviously, John and I don't know all the players, far from it. But the players that we've had the opportunity to interact with these last couple of weeks, and to a certain extent the last couple of years, there's no doubt the Eagles place a premium on drafting what you'd call not only, I think, good people, but people that you get the impression have a lot of fight in them. Because there's a difference between being – you could be a good guy and not have fight, but I like the character that I've seen of a lot of these Eagles players I've met.
There's no Ben Simmons.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's a good way to put it. All right, Sparty, what do you got on the Phillies, man?
It's a great culture, yeah. And I just, you know, before my, you know, my point around about the Phils is I just think that, look, they've made some additions by subtraction here, got rid of some bad seeds. But I really like the roster. I'm not worried about, you know, game-by-game results here in August. I'm looking to October. I think once everybody gets healthy, if they can get it, they win the wild card, I think it's going to be a red October. It's going to be awesome. But, Joe, I had a quick question. I saw your post last night. I wanted to see where the feedback shook out on the shoes yesterday, because those were hideous.
Well, I thought
they're ugly too.
Look, I thought they were awful. My girlfriend loved them. I did not buy them, by the way.
Were those jeggings you were wearing? Like, are those tight?
Yeah, the jeans were definitely tight. That's for sure.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're just jeans. I don't know what kind of jeans they are. Listen, Sparty, the feedback was really confusing, because some people told me they were incredible shoes. And some people told me they were hideous shoes. So, I mean, I even had members of the Philadelphia Sports.
Are you supposed to wear them without socks? Is that?
I think that's
yes,
the idea.
Yes, that's a look. Yes, for sure.
And that alone is why I don't want them. Like, that's not me. I'm not wear shoes without socks, guy.
Well, then why'd you even try them on
without
socks?
Because she wanted me to.
You know you can
How did
evolve.
They let you try
you
them
know you
on
can evolve,
socks?
Right?
Well,
as
I just
a person.
Kind of snuck that in. Yeah, I'm probably not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it.
You can
anyway.
Evolve as a person, Joe. Just because you're not something today doesn't mean you can't turn into someone who would try something new.
James, would you personally want to wear shoes without socks?
I have worn shoes without socks.
And you don't feel like a clown?
No, it's a look. Like, people do it. It's not like my thing. I don't do it all the time, but I have one pair of shoes that I usually wear without socks.
Not me. Sparty, give me a great answer for who's tricky.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking you were starting to look a little bit like Thurston Howell III there. So it sounds like
I don't want to be like Thurston Howell III. That's exactly right.
I got a haymaker here, Harry Houdini.
Houdini's a big answer. Hey, Sparty, always good hearing from you, pal. Call us
great
again.
Great answer.
Thanks, Sparty.
Hey, if you don't want to be like Thurston Howell III, then stop wearing loafers all the time.
Well, the ones I have are just bum loafers. They were more, those were a little more highfalutin stuff last night.
They were highfalutin.
Yeah, and
loafers.
I'm like, this is not, Amy, no.
But the loafer thing is, that's your bag.
Well, it's because it's easy. It's like a slipper. Yeah, it's like a slipper. 215-592-9494. Coming up the day after the Eagles traded J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. A question for John, a question for James, and a question for everyone related to Arcega-Whiteside, his tenure, and a little bit more of Eagles history. We'll get into it all up ahead. Joe DeCameron, John Richard from Training Camp on 94 WIP. Well, we love being at Eagles Training Camp. Joe DeCameron, John Richard, 94 WIP. Our final hour at Training Camp for this, the 2022 Eagles Training Camp, which is, I guess, officially shut down. We are just the remnants as we continue to broadcast. But the team out to Cleveland tomorrow. They'll be practicing against the Browns for a couple days, play them over the weekend. And I guess, Sean, this will be the last time that you and I will be here at a training camp until the Eagles are two-time Super Bowl champions. Right? See what I just
did
right
there?
It's
not impossible.
It's not impossible. It's not impossible. Hey, I got to rip somebody.
They're going to be a playoff team.
They will be a playoff team. It's a matter of how strong they'll be, but they will be a playoff team. I agree with you. I do have to rip somebody for a really, really poor job around here, and that is unfortunately me, because last segment.
Oh. I didn't see that
coming. Yep. Listen, I'm a man of honor and integrity, and if I do wrong, I say so. Last segment, you might have noticed I gave credit to J. Dots for the fine food.
Multiple times, J. Dots.
Yeah, like 6, 7, 8, 9 times. Problem, James, was I misheard his name. His name is not J. Dots. It's B. Dots.
Oh, my God.
B. Dots, sir.
How do you get J and B confused?
Because he said it at the start of a commercial break, and I think by the time the segment began, a few minutes later, I'd forgotten his name.
Just another...
Yeah.
A combination of both you not being able to hear and not listening. Classic Joe DeCameron.
Yeah, well, I was too busy eating the food, you know, so I want to thank B-Dots.
B-Dots has a gift with a spatula.
There you go. And the Eagles have some really nice employees, by the way. Let me say, they've always put a great premium. Seltzer, you're an example of this, and I mean that. The Eagles when James worked for the Eagles, gosh, what, James, about 7, 8, 9 years ago, something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, yeah. Last year I was there was 2014.
Yeah, Eagles have always put a nice, real good premium on hiring nice people. And I just want to give a shout-out to their staff because they do have some fine folks. 215-592-9494. So, John, we haven't covered it yet, but J.J. Arcega-Whiteside traded yesterday. Whether the defensive back the Eagles got from Seattle can play or not, who knows? Time will tell. Wouldn't shock me if he's the guy that gets caught, because I don't think Arcega-Whiteside was going to make this team. Probably won't make Seattle. We'll see. What are your thoughts as Arcega-Whiteside heads out the door on – just what a fiasco his tenure was with the Eagles, and what a disaster of a pick it was. Because remember, this was Arcega-Whiteside over DK Metcalf.
I appreciate the effort that he put out there in trying to salvage his, you know, career.
He became a pretty good special teams player last year, which
a lot of
second rounders. Don't,
yeah, they think they're above that.
Correct, correct.
He was not above doing whatever it took to, you know, do what the team asked. And I appreciate that part of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I don't appreciate and he didn't draft himself in the second
round. That's true. You're right.
If he were a fifth-round pick, we probably would, you know, overwhelmingly appreciate the hard work that he'd put in. The problem was...
Or he would have gotten cut the first camp or the second camp.
Likely.
He would not have gotten multiple opportunities.
Likely. Yeah. But, you know, it's not easy to be a special teams-focused player in the NFL. It's hard. The hits are harder. You know, you're running full speed down the field against a guy who's running full speed, you know, putting his face on your face. And a lot of times for a wide receiver, that's a completely different world. We know that he tried to make the switch to tight end, and that was an absolute failure. Watching him get into the game against the Jets, where he had, I think, 8 snaps as a tight end. You know, the 3-point stance was wonky. He looked completely out of place. There's no way that guy's ever going to be able to block a defensive end, you know, face to face.
No shot.
Yeah. Yet he was out there trying, giving his best, and he just, unfortunately, like adding the weight that people, you know, people were applauding him. Hey, he packed on 15 pounds this offseason. Yeah, he put the weight on working out. You know, that's not easy working out. It, you know, strength wise, lifting weights, pumping iron, eating, you know, as much as he possibly could. It slowed him down even more, and it was hard to watch him try to fill that role that he was so ill-suited for out there on the field against the Jets. You know, I wish him luck, but I don't think he's going to be making the Seahawks.
Yeah, I can't imagine his NFL career goes on much longer. I mean, I wish the guy well.
He was a bad wide receiver.
Yeah.
For where he was drafted.
Sure.
He wasn't a bad wide receiver if circumstances had been different. He dropped a couple key passes in key spots that we never forgave him
for.
And I don't think he forgave himself. Well, and that it was in the back of his mind. The confidence was never high enough to really allow him to be as good as he might have been.
Yeah, I mean, here's how I'll sum it up. He's a bust, and he's a big bust. The reality is he is a second-round pick. Now, it's not a first-rounder, but it's a second-rounder, which is not nothing. He is a second-round pick at the wide receiver position who, over 3 years with the Eagles, caught less than total 20 total passes. Less than 20 passes? That's hard to do. So here's the question, John, I want to ask you. James, I want to ask you, and then right back to the phone lines. I'm just curious because vibes are good. We're all excited about the Eagles. Howie's had, a really nice last 2 years with the bounce back and the addition of a lot of good players. But I'm curious, with Arcega Whiteside out the door, we know that was what could have been DK Metcalf at a time when we knew the Eagles needed a wide receiver and clearly missed. And then the following year when they still needed a wide receiver and took Jalen Reagor, who might be here 2 more weeks or he might be here 1 more year, knowing that, and that was, of course, what would have been the Justin Jefferson pick. I'm just curious, with the good vibes in the air, James and John, have you guys, for lack of a better way to put it, have you gotten over the huge mistakes by Howie Roseman on those two picks because the positive vibes now outweigh the negative, or does that still linger significantly?
I think Reagor will continue to linger. I think Reagor has an impact on this team, not just with his lackluster play, but he's got a big personality, not always in a good way, to where, you know, he's getting on the social media and he's making his presence known, probably against better judgment in a lot of cases. So as long as Reagor is around and underperforming, it's going to be hard for me to look past.
James, how about you?
Yeah, I'm happy with Howie. I'm not, you know, Howie hating or anything like that. I don't know if I'll ever get over the Reagor over Jefferson pick because I was so in on Jefferson. You know, I talked about on the show all the time. He was my favorite receiver that year. Like, I love Justin Jefferson. I thought he was going to be a star. He's clearly turned into a star. So for me, like, honestly, Joe, I don't think I'll ever get over it. I'm not kidding at all.
It's a reasonable answer because here's the deal, guys. We've talked so much about Justin Jefferson. I think sometimes, I mean, I don't know about people out there, but it's almost easy to forget he's only played 2 years. I mean, it almost, because we've talked so much about Justin Jefferson in relation to Jalen Reagor. You know, Justin Jefferson might play another 12 years. He could be a 14-year player and be a Hall of Famer. So, you know, yeah, I don't think we ever should get over those picks. Now, look, if they win a Super Bowl up ahead, then I guess it'll be a little easier to say, well, they got through it anyway. But
Justin Jefferson has over 3,000 yards receiving in those 2 years.
He's a tremendous player. He's a tremendous player.
That's incredible. He's got 17 touchdowns and 3,016 yards.
Right. And of course,
196 catches.
Well, I get it. And you can make the case that had Justin Jefferson been drafted, then A.J. Brown probably wouldn't be on the team. And not that that's good per se, but my point is then you apply that first round draft pick to a different position. It's a cheaper player. And you just go about building the Eagles a different way. Anyway, I just wanted to sort of present to everyone the idea of Arcega Whiteside and Reagor instead of Metcalf and Jefferson because we've talked so much about it, and the Eagles finally moved on from one of the two mistakes. And I think it's only a matter of time until Jalen Reagor is out of here as well. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Go ahead, John.
I think it's a good idea if they move on from Rager as soon as possible. You know, we've heard about the trade possibilities, you know, those rumors swirling. They need to get that done. Because I do think it has a negative – that will have a detrimental effect with this team. Seeing him on the sideline, laughing it up with the other guys.
Yeah, but he
was the other guys know if you're good, if you've got it.
I don't like that, John. I don't agree with you on that. He was encouraging his teammates, and I appreciated that. But I understand the point.
I can see how guys could be resentful.
Because you don't think he's good enough for that much yuck.
Yeah.
It's a reasonable point. All right, let's go to the phones. Joe in Exton's with us. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, first off, condolences to John. I lost my grandpa a couple weeks ago, so my heart is there with you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Our condolences to you also, Joe.
Okay, well, on JJ, I hope his mom packs his umbrella because it's rainy in Seattle.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
You know, Pete Carroll likes the Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever it is now, guys, and he's going to have an opportunity to compete for a backup special team spot, and I think he's going to fail.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I think he can only make the Seahawks as a special teamer.
Of course, yeah.
That's all he's got up in his repertoire anymore.
Yeah,
Joe, go ahead, buddy.
Joe, I totally agree with you, Joe, on how the team's looking. Now we're cutting off the dead weight. I definitely think Rager should have been out there more the first preseason game.
Because he's
on thin ice.
Should be.
Well, I didn't like the message that it sent to Rager. Like, think of it this way. Joe, here's the way I'll frame it. If the three Eagles starting wide receivers were all healthy for that game, and only two of them were, but let's just say Devontae was healthy enough to play, then Rager... I mean, he's got to be a backup, right? He's backup, which means he doesn't get in there until late one, should play all the way through two. I would have pushed him through into the third quarter. But because he gets the start, because Devontae is out, it's like the Eagles make this assessment that they don't need to push him. And then I think it creates a false sense of security that he's like safe guy, which is ridiculous because the last thing he should be is safe guy. He should be having to fight tooth and nail to prove that he's the 53rd guy on the team, not the 43rd. I mean 53rd. And for them to pull him out in the second quarter, I thought was ridiculous. Joe, give me someone who's tricky.
Can I get something on the Phillies quick?
Sure. Go ahead, buddy.
You're going to be eating crow on Bryson Stott.
It might be true. A lot of people think that's correct. All right, what do you got on? Okay. What do you got on who's tricky?
Tony Hawk.
Tony. Oh, clever. Ooh, that's different way
answer.
To answer it. Yeah.
It is a very good answer. No doubt about that. Let's go to John right now in Center City. What's happening, John?
Yo, Joe. How you doing, John?
I'm doing all right, man.
Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Big fan, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Joe, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about this Ben Simmons settlement agreement because I kind of have a different take from you. I'm not so sure that the Sixers are necessarily giving him millions of dollars or anything of the sort. I mean, it could be a
complete... How do you figure? Well, talk to me. Give me your theory, because I think that's implausible, but sell me on it.
It's not implausible. I say this as a corporate attorney for one. So I speak of, you know, I know a little bit about this. So you could imagine there would be all sorts of things, right? This is a breach of contract case, right? Ben Simmons is claiming he's owed $20 million under an employment agreement.
Yep.
The Sixers have a plausible breach of contract counterclaim, I would say. In other words, they're saying they could say Ben Simmons, he broke the contract, right? We were relying on him. We were forced to engage in this trade for James Harden, give up talent, et cetera, et cetera. And so the threat of a Sixers counterclaim could have meant the Ben Simmons team perhaps settled. Maybe they both agreed to not bring charges or basically claims against each other to avoid a prolonged litigation.
All right, I mean, possible. Let me ask you a question, John.
Let me ask
you this question. Do you think Ben Simmons was awarded a dollar or more by the 76ers yesterday?
A dollar or more? If I had if I had to guess, I would say probably yes.
Correct.
But that being said, think of it this way. I mean, to engage in a lawsuit costs tens of thousands of dollars, especially
yeah,
the
I
kind
know.
Of
but
law
we're talking
firms.
About, just, you're talking about billionaires. I mean, then Josh Harris hire a lawyer.
But just think about that they're business people, right? So, like, for instance, if you got a $35 parking ticket and it took you 5 days off from work to go to City Hall to fight it, it's just not worth it at some point.
But
so
then, John,
easily a calculation like that.
Okay, listen, I understand your point, and it's a reasonable possibility. But let me just ask you this question. How much money, in your opinion, would be I think he got paid something yesterday, and I personally think he got paid in the millions. So the question then becomes, how much is a small enough amount to justify the Sixers not have to go through a legal battle? And frankly, I think the answer is not more than, $100,000. I mean, they probably paid, see, John, they probably paid him millions. Do you really think they didn't pay him millions yesterday?
Yeah.
Agree to what I mean?
Well, I don't, wait. I think that's a reasonable possibility is what I'm saying. It's possible they paid him millions too, but I mean, you're confident that they paid him millions. I'm saying I'm not. And also, I mean, think of it this way too, right? The Sixers are also under investigation due to, the tampering, the alleged tampering, right? Mm-hmm. So if they go through this lawsuit with Ben Simmons, right, Daryl Morey's text messages, emails, all that stuff probably is going to be open to discovery. Mm-hmm. Now, there would be an agreement that the other side, like the Ben Simmons side, can't leak it or anything, but suppose they do, and suppose there's some, maybe there are other reasons.
But do you understand, again, a good point, you're bringing up a lot of good points, but John, here's my point then as a Sixers fan.
Sure.
So they have to settle with Ben Simmons and probably give him millions.
No,
to avoid getting caught when they probably to avoid hold on, John, to avoid getting caught when they probably did tamper, and I'm supposed to say that's good.
No, all I'm saying, Joe, is there's a range of possibilities of why this is an undisclosed settlement, meaning we don't have any idea what's in it. Ben Simmons could have paid them $100,000 to not bring counter suit. I'm not saying that's likely, but I'm just saying it's in the range of possibilities.
Sure. All right, John, you frame it as an interesting way there. Give me a great answer for who's tricky.
All right, I'm going to say old school Bugs Bunny.
Has already been said. It's a good answer, but give me a different one.
Oh,
yep.
Gosh. Yeah. I don't know. Eddie Van Halen. He plays some tricky guitar.
You got it.
That's
John,
pretty good.
John, what's your response to his line of
I thinking? Think it's – I appreciate a completely different perspective on that, that the possibility does exist that it would benefit Ben Simmons' side to just get out of this mess, extract themselves from the mess of it all. I, like you, initially felt like there's no way he quit litigating for less than millions of dollars. But there's a lot that's at work here, and we don't know the specifics. The specifics could be a lot less, beneficial to Ben, but I think that's probably like a 10% chance.
Right, it's unlikely. So I agree with you. I mean, James, your thoughts there. You just heard the call. It's a fascinating call. It's theoretically
possible. Well, I thought the most interesting point was the concept that the Sixers might have settled so they don't have to disclose things in the tampering investigation. That's another interesting angle we haven't thought about. And, look, we all know, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Sixers tampered, would you? So
no, I think they
I'm not happy they did, I certainly don't want them to get penalized for it as a Sixers fan. So
well, see,
if it
see,
caused,
that's a tricky one for me.
You, so real
I have
quick,
to,
you'd rather not give Ben Simmons money and hurt the Sixers? Because I, as much as I hate Ben Simmons, I'd rather not hurt the Sixers.
Here's what I would, James, here's what I'd say to that. I'm gonna actually separate the issues for a second. And I'm gonna talk as both a Sixers fan and as an NBA basketball fan. If the 76ers tampered in a more egregious way than other teams tampered, then the 76ers should get penalized by the NBA.
I don't think so, because I think all teams are tampering.
But they might have
and
tampered, but they might have tampered
like
more.
Oh, come
they
on.
Might have. They might have. They probably did. Come on. They probably did.
Everyone's tampering.
Everyone is tampering. Everyone is tampering. But at some point here, it just can't be the Wild
West.
If
everyone's tampering and we're the only ones who are being singled out for it, I don't want us getting penalized.
Well, yeah, but remember, the big issue that they're saying with the Sixers, the real big issue, potentially, is not tampering to acquire James Harden. It is salary cap circumvention to retain James Harden to then give him more money down the road after you brought players in the meantime. That is the far bigger sin in the eyes of the NBA, if that's what the 76ers did. 215-592-9494. And I get your point, James, but my point is, if all that is true, I mean, what am I to do? Give the Sixers an ovation for trying to avoid penalties down the road by settling with Ben? Now you're just dragging me through the mud as a fan. That's how I feel. Time's yours is next. Phone calls as well on 94WIP. Well, time's yours, as we do every single weekday at this time. You call, we listen. Seltzer selects the best of the best. Let's hit it with time's yours.
I don't know. I like this kid, Huntley. I know he's, you know, second-year guy, but he runs a lot like a guy who used to wear that number. I'm not saying he's him, but he runs just like Ricky Waters. If you watch the way he runs, high knees, he cuts with the hand exactly like Ricky Waters used to run.
Is this called a joke?
I like to see this kid a little more.
Are you serious, sir?
I'm amazed if that's real. Like Ricky Waters, seriously?
Ricky Waters is a borderline Hall of Fame guy. He's like just short of the Hall of Fame. Huntley's going to be cut. I mean, if anything, his practice squad.
Huntley is
we're cut.
Look,
holy
I don't
mackerel.
Think they should keep him on the practice squad. I know that's an option. When he got an opportunity, he had 16 carries in that game. He did nothing with those carries for what was there, and he missed obvious cuts and holes consistently.
Yeah, and the other thing I would just say is 16 carries for a player in a preseason game is a bad
What was it, 16
sign.
Carries for 43 yards?
Whatever it is.
Like
but
it was,
when
No, it was bad.
Listen, the team, when they play a player that much, knows he might get injured, and if he does, he will be a cheap injured player instead of an expensive injured player.
And you give him the ball in critical situations, third and short situations, and he misses the hole twice.
That guy's mystery in the situation.
I think Ray Diddy summarized what the problem is with Aaron Sipos. He's just not a cold weather kicker. As soon as the temperature's dropped and whatever it does to the ball, the hardness or whatever it does, he's just not a good cold weather kicker. So he looked good in the beginning of the season and then sucked. So we don't need a cold weather dud. We need a cold weather kicker. Tigers.
I don't even remember that.
Not just a good kicker, a good punter, period.
He's not very good. I don't remember cold versus hot days, though, but okay.
For you all three to unanimously claim that 8 Mile is a good movie, well, it's empirically and provably just incorrect statement. It's not. It's provably not a good movie. It's watchable. You could watch it from the beginning to the end without saying, man, I'm shutting this crap off. But that doesn't mean it's a good movie. It's just not a terrible movie. But it's not good. Amy's right on point. Right in the window of what it is. It's not terrible. How do you?
That call is almost as bad as the call where the guy thinks Jason Huntley's Ricky Waters.
I don't remember the specifics, really, of 8 Mile. It's been a long time since I've seen
really
8 Mile.
Good movie,
I thought
man.
It was really good when I
it's
saw it.
It's really, really good movie. And with that ridiculous call, we shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.